This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Pets Allowed, brought to you by the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Joy's very own show about pets. Now, I am Kevin.
I'm Oslam.
I'm Kate.
And there's no Alan today.
No. And sad for him because we're all wearing the 1212 Pet ID Day t-shirts. And I'm loving it. What do you
think? I think they look really fantastic. And they are, you know, in the latest shade of neon. It's an orange neon, which is very fashionable.
Retina burning neon.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. Yes, we will be noticed in these.
Fluoro neon is everything. And we will be talking a bit about why we are wearing these wonderful yellow tops. Now, Oz, I'm just having a bit of a... yellow, orange. It all looks the same to me. I'm just having a look at our Facebook page. Now, we're kind of 2 likes away from 17,000.
I mean, goodness sakes, really. That's certainly 2 people extra to hit the 17,000 mark. Surely by the end of the program, we can get 2 more people to like our page.
I think we can. It'd be great. Even more than that.
Yeah,
that's right.
So if you're sitting at home on Facebook and you just want to tap onto the Lost Dogs Home and like us, that'd be great.
Yes. You can, be the 17,000.
That's right. So the weather is warming up, sort of. We want to know what your favourite dog park is, or maybe a dog beach or somewhere you want to take your dog. We're going to be sharing some of our suggestions in dog dates today, but we're going to ask you to send us we're going to announce the top 10 next week.
Pets Allowed. Have your say. Email now on air at joy.org.au.
Don't forget, you can also SMS us whilst we're on air at 0427-JOY-949 or email on air at joy.org.au. So also coming up on Pets Allowed today, thank you to a very generous bequest. We are very close to the opening of our new veterinary clinic. So we'll hear the latest on that from senior veterinarian Dr. Larry Coulson.
This Wednesday, as we mentioned, is 1212 Pet ID Day. And if you haven't noticed, for the past few programs, we've been drilling identify, update and reunite, that very, very crucial message. So we'll be talking about what will happen on the day of the 12th this month.
And I'm going to take a bit of a look about some of the reasons why dogs dig. So maybe they're digging for treasure or maybe they're trying to find some donuts or something like
that.
That's
right. Who knows? And at the tail end of the program, we're going to be drawing the curtains open yet again on one of our pets of the week.
Can't wait.
So coming up, we're going to bring you up to speed on the news of the week with the Lost Dogs Home news wrap. But first, let's hear from a little bit of Dusty Springfield with In Private. This is Pets Allowed with the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9.
Pets Allowed on Joy 94.9. The Pets Allowed news wrap. A look at the news of the week from the Lost Dogs Home.
It is time to have a quick look at the news of last week. Now, Oz, we had a couple of special guests in the studio last week.
We did, of the small, very cute variety.
Very furry variety too.
Elena was pretty cute too. We did have 3 guests.
We did have 3 guests. I know, we can't put Elena out of that,
No, and I'm sorry I missed that. I didn't see the pictures. And I have met the puppies. They're gorgeous.
It was a great show, Kate. I mean, your brother's wedding is pretty important.
It was a really good wedding.
But this was, it was a really good show.
Okay, so we had one named Joy, which was the little girl. What did we name the boy?
Well, we put the call out to listeners to name Joy's brother, and we got a couple of suggestions. Well, we got a few suggestions. The main contender was Rainbow and Bo, but then we had to give it to Oliver. So we named Joy's brother Oliver. After
John Oliver, who is Joy's number one member, as well as founded Joy 19 years ago.
Yeah.
So it's great that we could name this little puppy after him. And now they're in foster care at the moment. So they have a wonderful foster family that they're with. Mm-hmm. And they're being looked after. So hopefully they'll be ready for adoption in a couple of weeks' time.
Yeah, they're about 7 weeks now, so...
Yes, they should be about 7 weeks old.
Yeah, it's nearly there.
Definitely adorable. Mm. Now, also throughout the week, we had someone post on our Facebook, which, we're still trying to get a couple more likes. Come on, guys, we're only 2 away from 17,000. We had someone who said, happy birthday to Bonnie Cat. Now, Bonnie Cat has turned 15 this week. Mm-hmm. I guess what makes Bonnie Cat so special is she was found in the tip when she was only a kitten with her four sisters, and they were all brought into the Lost Dogs home, and they were adopted from us 15 years ago.
Wow, isn't that amazing? That it's great to know that that dogs and cats that we've adopted out, or kittens and puppies, you know, go into homes for that long. Like, you know, they've got 15, you know, 12 years ahead of happy lives in a loving family. I know I've come through the vet clinic before and just met someone by accident, and he had his 18-year-old dog in there that he was taking in just for a checkup, but that dog was from the Lost Dogs home as well. So it's amazing. It's great.
It is. And just recently we heard from Shadow, the Shadow's owners, a cat that turned about 18, I think.
18 it was,
and then a Labrador who turned 15, which is, you know, quite a good number for a larger animal.
Incredible. And some of these animals get adopted at 6 or 7 as well.
Oh, so that's right. You know, yeah.
Plenty of years ahead. People sometimes think, oh, that's too old.
Yes.
Can't adopt a dog that's older or a cat that's older. But it's actually a really good time to adopt because they are going to have that still, you know, 8-9 years of commitment.
And they're usually settled, mature, you know, dogs and cats then. So they, you know, blend into the family quite well without all those puppy antics. So it's good.
Absolutely. And now, Kate, we are wearing these wonderful orange, fluoro orange. Tell us, what is 12/12 Pet ID Day? What should people be looking out for?
Well, this Wednesday, we want people to be looking out for a group of people walking some invisible dogs in bright orange t-shirts, I might add. You might actually see Kevin, myself, or Oz out there in the city. So we're celebrating Pet ID Day. We're raising awareness, asking people to identify their pets with a microchip and a collar tag to keep their information up to date corresponding to their pet's identification, so that shelters like the Lost Dogs Home can reunite lost pets with their owners. So we'll be having, I guess, a flash mob-esque type event in the city where we'll be walking, you know, our invisible dogs and then meeting at Queensbridge Square later.
Which is actually where Reggie, our mobile microchipping van, is going to be all day, and we will be having $12 microchipping at the new Lost Dogs Home Vet Clinic, which we're going to talk about very soon.
That's right. So if you work around Bourke Street or Federation Square, do keep an eye out for us. I think we will be a bit of an eyesore with these t-shirts. They're so bright.
We will be quite visible,
visible.
But also, yeah, keep an eye out at Queensbridge Square as well, which we will be there all day.
And feel free to come over and chat to us and ask about what we're doing and why, because we'd love nothing more than talking about pet identification.
That's absolutely right. And adoption and everything, all of the above.
Absolutely, yeah.
So don't forget, whilst we're on air, you can SMS us 0427JOY949 or email onair@joy.org.au. We are looking for your dog parks or favourite beaches to go to, maybe take your dog over the summer. So coming up next, we are going to hear from Dr. Larry Coulson a bit about our new veterinary clinic. But first, if you want more information on anything we've talked about so far, visit our website, dogshome.com. This is Pets Allowed with the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9. We did have a call in from Sarah from Noble Park. Thank you for calling us in, Sarah. Now, she asked about her dog who has a bit of an issue with flea allergies. Now, because Alan isn't here this week, we don't have our expert vet advice here. So, Sarah, we're going to refer that question on to Alan, and we'll put it in his Q&A section next week.
So if you could listen then, and we'll get back to you.
Absolutely.
Okay, so for almost 100 years, the Lost Dogs Home's veterinary clinic has provided medical attention and care to Melbourne's stray and abandoned animals. In 1935, the veterinary services expanded to include private patients, and all proceeds go directly to the home.
And later this month, the Lost Dogs Home will be unveiling the highly anticipated and much-needed Frank Samways Veterinary Clinic, which will see the home's veterinary services grow further.
I caught up with Senior Veterinarian and Project Director or Manager, Dr. Larry Coulson, earlier this week, who kindly put aside some time away from the building site to speak with us about the new clinic.
This really is quite an occasion for the Lost Dogs Home. Can you put it into perspective what a new vet clinic will be like for the home?
It's a fantastic occasion for the Lost Dogs Home because our current building has really had its use-by date, and now we're shifting into brand new purpose-built premises. So it's just fantastic facility, better for the animals, better for the clients, and it helps open up the other area of the home for further expansion.
So currently the vet clinic is within the Lost Dogs Home itself, and I believe it's been there from day dot?
Yes, it's been there probably since the 30s and really has time to be renovated. And so with the donation from Frank Samways, we're lucky enough to have a brand new clinic just across the road.
So can you describe what the actual clinic is like at the moment?
Our current clinic is too small for our requirements at the moment. It's built in nice beige colours from the 30s, and it's got, despite, you know, upkeep, really showing all the signs of wear and tear and build up of traffic. So we're shifting into something that's really bright, lots of natural light, and will be better for staff, better for clients, better for the animals.
Mm. You've got quite a number of staff too at the clinic itself, so I'm sure a bigger area will be much more appreciated.
Yeah, we're really cramped at the moment, and we'll be able to expand just our own personal space, but it enables us to provide other services as well. Mm. So it's a win-win situation.
Okay, so what does the new clinic look like?
So the new clinic is a purpose-built clinic. So we've got a couple of specialist surgeries. We've got plenty of room for accommodating animals. We've got personally air-conditioned cat cages for all our cats that are staying with us. Mm-hmm. We've got four consult rooms, yep. So we'll be able to utilise them and try and see clients on time, no waiting. We're certainly expanding all our hours to accommodate people before and after work. We've got heaps of off-street parking, and that's something that clients are really going to love, because parking is a bit of a problem in the area at the moment. There's direct access from the car park. That's one of the design features, so there's no long walk, and that's very important if you've got a sick pet. So the whole facility is just going to be much more functional for everyone. Once we shift into the new veterinary clinic, that'll allow for expansion of all our adoption services into the old veterinary clinic, and in that way private animals are getting a better deal, and certainly adoption and shelter animals are getting a better deal too.
And so in terms of the new vet clinic, what are some standout equipment that you'll have?
So we've got heaps of new equipment, and a lot of it is things that clients won't see, the things that we use to monitor your animals during anaesthetic and the equipment for the anaesthetics. So although you don't see it, it's certainly much more beneficial for your pet, and we would hope for much quicker and better anaesthetic recovery. We've mentioned before that the cat accommodation is individually air-conditioned, so that's more comfortable for your pet and also cuts down on the possible disease transmission, particularly cat flu.
And also the reception area, it looks quite big, and probably a good idea because you do get dogs and cats coming in and you don't want them sometimes interacting too close.
Yeah, look, segregation is really a good thing in the animal world. You know, lots of cats don't like dogs and lots of dogs don't like other dogs, so the more space animals have, the happier they are, and we've designed it, the waiting room, with that in mind, so that, you know, enemies can be separated.
But what I do like actually also about the reception area is that it looks to the park across the road, which is quite a good access point as well if people want to take their pets out while they're waiting or...
Yeah, so we have the off-lead dog park, and in fact that's probably a good reward for your pet after a vaccination to go for a run in the off-lead dog park.
I think one of the standout features that has always been a part of the vet clinic itself, and it will continue with this new vet clinic, is the fact that all the profits actually made from the clinic goes directly to the home.
Yeah, look, it's another great way that people can support the Lost Dogs Home and get something out of it themselves. All profits go directly to the Lost Dogs Home to help them in their mission. So it's a fantastic way of supporting that cause as well as looking after your own pet.
So the opening of the home's new vet clinic was only made possible through a very generous bequest made by Frank Samways. Up next, Kate will tell us a bit more about Frank and the vital contribution he's made to the home.
Pets Allowed on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9.
And we're back on Pets Allowed with the Lost Dogs Home. I'm Kevin. I'm here with Oslam and Kate. No Ellen today, unfortunately, but we're getting there anyway. And I just want to say we reached 17,000 on Facebook. So thank you, everyone who's listening. And thank you for liking us.
17,001, in fact.
Absolutely. So thank you to those three people that are listening and liked us.
It's very good. So on a typical day, our team of vets and nurses see up to about 30 stray animals, as well as private patients. Considerably outgrowing the current veterinary clinic, the Lost Dogs Home Frank Samways Veterinary Clinic really couldn't have come at a better time. Now, Kate, can you tell us a bit about Frank Samways?
Well, Frank was a lovely, lovely man. He was a gentleman in the true sense of the word. He was probably our most generous, or one of our most generous ever donors. He loved animals. Now, he had dogs all his life. He actually never married or had a family, so his animals were really important to him. And as I said, he had dogs all his life. And then later life, when he felt he couldn't probably care for a dog, he would just feed the birds and spend time sitting in his backyard feeding the birds. He had a lovely rapport, good rapport with Graham. You know, they would often be on the phone, and he really believed in the home and what we did, and was, as I said, a very generous supporter. And we actually had the opportunity to speak with Frank before he passed away. He let us know what he wanted, and that was that he wanted to put his name along with a generous bequest to a veterinary clinic that would have ongoing, you know, effects for dogs and cats. It would have a positive. It would be a positive service that would make a big difference to the lives of dogs and cats now and long into the future. So,
what are the effects going to be? Like, how does that help not only the shelter but also privately owned animals as well?
Well, I guess it's providing, you know, top of the range care. It's state of the art facilities, as Larry said. We can spread out, so we can probably offer more services and care for more animals at one time in that clinic. It frees up actually the old clinic area, which will become an adoption centre, which is also a really much needed facility that we want in the Lost Dogs Home. Currently, people are sort of outside in the weather.
Bit of a bus stop.
It is a bit of a bus stop, and it's fondly known as that within the home by staff. But this gives you an indoor area where you can actually take someone into a private room and really sit down and discuss what it means to take on and adopt a pet and make sure they fully understand what they're doing. And I guess that meeting time with between pet and the new owner as well, which is just as important. So it has ongoing, I guess, a ripple effect, you know, having this wonderful new clinic. And of course, Larry said also the proceeds from the clinic go back into helping lost dogs and cats. So it helps owned pets, but unowned pets as well.
And also the actual operating hours will extend too, which is fantastic for people that are working.
Yeah, yes, and more people need to sort of drop off their dogs before they go to work, especially if they're going to get them de-sexed or they're having operations. And yes, the convenience of being able to collect them after hours as well. And we can't really offer that at the moment because our current clinic is on site at the home. But by separating it, we can offer different operating hours.
Mm-hmm. So the Lost Dogs Home Frank Samways Veterinary Clinic is just around the corner from our current facilities in North Melbourne, literally around the corner. And we're going to have more information on our website, so keep an eye out for the opening dates as well as opening times. So it will be extended. Currently, our vet clinic opens at 10, but I think we're going to be opening at 8 a.m., which is great.
Yeah, and we'll be holding the $12 microchipping marathon there at the new veterinary clinic as well.
That's right.
So we should mention, the address at this stage. So if you would like to make the most of the $12 microchipping, which is only available for 12 hours from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. this Wednesday, come along to 1 Boundary Road, North Melbourne. So number 1 Boundary Road, North Melbourne.
Yep. And coming up, we're actually going to hear how microchipping can sort of really help get your pet home. Mm. We've got a bit of a story of someone who lost their dog for about 3 years. So stay tuned for that. And we are going to now hear from Jessica Malboy with a bit of Been Waiting. For more information about the Frank Samways Veterinary Clinic, please check out our website, dogshome.com. This is Pets Allowed with the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9. Imagine, you're coming home from work one day and you find your much-loved family dog missing. Imagine then not seeing or hearing about your dog for years. Until 3 years down the track, all thanks to a tiny microchip, you get a call.
One person who intimately knows this loss and the power of identifying your pet is Wendy. I caught up with Wendy earlier this week, just days after she was reunited with a gorgeous little papillon called Flower. She starts off here by taking us through the day she discovered Flower was missing.
I came home from work, went to, as we normally do, go out to feed the dogs, and they were all gone. There was three of them here at that time. About an hour later, after trying to find where they got out, the two other dogs came back to the front door and barked at the door, so we let them in, and Flower was nowhere to be seen. So we did, you know, drove around looking for her, put notices up, and didn't hear anything.
That must have been devastating for you.
It was, because she was a gift, and she was very cute, and she was my puppy. And she was gone all of a sudden, so yeah. And it was worse because the other two came back and didn't bring her back as well.
And so you mentioned that you went around hanging up posters.
We put posters up where we walked in the general vicinity where we lived, up on, you know, just on the street signs, up at the major shopping centre and things. Never heard a thing.
And that must have made you feel quite sad, not hearing anything back.
It did, because you wonder whether, you know, they've been injured or if they're not alive anymore or if someone has just decided that they want to take the dog home.
What do you suspect happened to her while she was away from you for 3 years?
I can only assume that someone has seen her and thought she was cute and took her. She was very, because she's a long-haired dog, she was very matted, but she's obviously been fed because she doesn't seem to be underweight or anything.
Mm-hmm.
but her coat wasn't very well looked after. So whoever had her was looking after her to an extent.
So there is a good ending to this story. It did take 3 years, but you did receive some kind of contact. Can you take us through the day you were contacted to be notified that Flower was certainly alive and well?
I received an email, so it was Thursday last week on a very hot day, just after I'd finished work. I rang to, because the email said we'd like to speak to you about your lost dog. So I rang them and said that my dog was in the backyard. And then they asked me about my old address, because I obviously hadn't changed my address because she'd gone missing. And they told me that that was the dog. It was a small, fluffy, white dog, which is what Flower is. You know, a dog that I definitely thought was gone from my life had all of a sudden reappeared. And considering I hadn't seen it or known anything about it in all that time, it was just quite astounding for something to come back from the dead, pretty much is what it was.
So you did mention that she was a puppy when she went missing. When you saw her, she must have changed quite a lot.
Well, not really, because she's a papillion, so she weighs all of 2 kilos. So she's just this little furry thing. So she had, as soon as I saw her, I knew it was her. You know, regardless of the microchip, I knew it was her.
And what happened when you saw her?
I just said hello to her, and she got all excited and jumped into my arms.
And so what happened when you got home? Obviously some things have changed. You've got new pets in the house.
Yeah, I rang my daughter on the way home to tell her, so they were expecting me when I got home. Oh, she's kind of a bit quiet, and she sat, because it was hot, she wanted to sit on the tiles rather than on the mat that we got for her. So she would sit in the corner at the back of the house, away from everybody. You know, she was friendly enough and happy enough. She didn't really eat or drink very much for the first couple of days, but she's fine now.
So a bit of adjusting was required the first couple of days.
Oh, definitely, yeah. She's been allowed to play with the other dogs, but only when she's supervised, just because they're so much bigger than her.
Mm-hmm.
And she's the one bossing them around now. If they go near her food, she yells at them.
Okay, so having had this experience, what would your message be to pet owners out there in terms of identifying their pets?
Oh, definitely to have them microchipped and to have a collar on them with their identification of some sort on their collar, whether it's a phone number or an address, just so that if someone, you know, picks the dog up in the street, they know exactly where they belong.
And on the note of people taking in pets, what would you say to those that haven't sought out the owners first?
You know, some people obviously think that they're doing the right thing by doing that, because, you know, maybe they think that the dog was either abandoned or got out because it wasn't looked after, but that's not always the case. I have a dog here that's terrified of thunderstorms and lightning and has got out a number of times, and I have since had him returned to me because they knew that he belonged to me. And it's horrible when your pet goes missing, and you have done your best to keep them in and make sure that they're safe, and they get out one day and then they don't come back. And for someone to not even bother trying to find who belongs to the dog, you know, even a poster up somewhere, an attempt at least.
Joy 94.9.
You're on Pets Allowed with the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9. Right before that, we heard from Wendy. Now, Wendy actually lost her little papillion 3 years ago and has only been recently reunited with her thanks to a microchip.
Mm.
Now, with coming up to Pet ID Day, 12/12 Pet ID Day this Wednesday, we think microchipping is really important. Now, Wendy also mentioned about tags as well and on the collar. Now, Kate, what are your thoughts?
Oh, I just think that's a really great story and just demonstrates how vital it is to identify your pets. It's completely the message we're trying to get out there with 12/12 Pet ID Day. Wendy, you know, mentioned that collar tags are really, really important, and you know, perhaps that would have got her little Flower home earlier if she was wearing a tag, because someone could have contacted her straight away, and that's why tags are great. Mm. But it was the microchip that was her backup and her insurance that, you know, in the long term it worked and got Flower back. She did mention that her address was out of date.
Mm.
And I guess that's really a big part of our message with 12/12 Pet ID Day, is to update your details. Fortunately, obviously her phone hadn't changed, so, and I'm sure the National Pet Register would have probably tried to call Wendy first.
They did actually. They had attempted to call her, and because she works shift hours, unfortunately, she wasn't able to get the call. But they did access her via her email.
Yeah, and that's what the Lost Dogs Home does. We just go to all ends to try and find an owner when there's some form of ID on a dog or cat. So we're great, isn't it? That's just so heartening to see a dog come home like that.
Absolutely, and we do hear these stories a lot. You know, we heard about Lily a little last year sometime, who was a German Shepherd that was found 7 months later, 700 kilometres from home. We heard about Fritz, who was found three years after as well, and the other cat who was found 5 years. Yeah. So it is really showing that microchipping is important. Now, if you don't have your pet microchipped, we are having a bit of a microchipping marathon this Wednesday, 12-12 day. Now, Oz, tell us a bit about this.
Yeah, don't miss out on this. If you have been putting it off or if you just haven't been able to get to it, the $12 microchip has been reduced from the already reduced price of $25. So for $12, you'll be able to microchip your pet, and that's available from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. at 1 Boundary Road, North Melbourne. I believe you need to do book if you'd like to come along. So the best way to do that is to go onto the National Pet Register website,
which is petregister.com.au. There is some information on events on there.
And you can also, you know, if you forget the website, give us a call and we'll help you through that over the phone as well. I'd also like to point out too that, you know, some private clinics can charge $60 to $80 for a microchip. We normally charge $25 when we go out to events. So $12 is a spectacularly great price. And I actually urge people to take advantage, but also to share it with as many people as possible. You know, you might have friends or family that have pets and they're not microchipped. So please let them know this Wednesday. We will probably take some walk-ins on the night as well. Obviously, we prefer people to book. But, you know, if you forget and you think, can I come along? Yes, by all means, come along between 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. and get your pet microchipped.
Absolutely. We will be, you know, sort of making sure that there is some way that we can fit in some people who come in and walk in. And you'll also, the best thing about it is when you get your pet microchipped, you're also going to get a free tag that is registered with the National Pet Register. Now, this is really like your security blanket. This is another form of identification that can help your pet get home quicker. And if, you know, you might not be in Melbourne, you might not be able to come, or you might have friends that aren't in Melbourne, they can actually get a free tag as well. All they need to do is go into petregister.com.au. We are a completely national database as well with the National Pet Register.
It works all around Australia.
Absolutely. And it is important to note as well, as she said, update your details. Her address was incorrect. If your pet goes lost, okay, it might get a year later, you might move, but still update that pet's microchip details because you know what? They might still be out there somewhere and that might be the only way we can contact you.
That's right. And it's really not uncommon that dogs like Flower get, especially when they're cute and fluffy like Flower was, and people feel a bit, you know, sorry for them and they want to look after them. They don't want to put them into the big shelter. So they do hang on to them. So, yeah, by all means, keep your information up to date.
Absolutely. Now, look, a common way that some pets can go missing is by digging out. And I have this problem at home sometimes. Both my dogs like to dig. They quite enjoy it. The only problem is when they dig it at the fence line and then they do escape. Now, we've only had that happen one day, thankfully, but then we had to take some measures in order to do that. Now, dogs can dig for a variety of reasons. So they can be digging because they're bored, and that means you need to provide them with a bit more mental stimulation. So taking them for walks, walking, as Kate always says.
Yes, very important.
It is very important. So making sure that they have all those walks and everything like that, so they get that stimulation of the brain. They also tire them out a bit like that as well. Mm. And toys, like plenty of toys in the backyard. Dogs may dig because they want to retrieve something that they've buried. Now, it is an instinctive thing that dogs will, if they're finished or they're full and they have a bone, they might bury the bone because, you know, they want to make sure that it's safe from other dogs around. Even though it's your backyard, there might not be any other dogs, you know. But I've got two dogs, so they might do that against each other. I know Luna is a serial bone barrier. She likes to bury them in the backyard or the couch.
They just like to cure them, I think, a bit too underground. I think they probably think, you know, a few days later it might even taste a bit better.
It's really, really not pretty when you have to dig them up. No. Unfortunately, Luna does it with her toys as well sometimes, and they end up being disgustingly dirty, and then she tries to bring them inside, which we obviously don't like.
Would people notice their dogs digging more during warmer weather?
Absolutely, because some dogs, like especially the longer haired breeds, are like Malamutes. I've noticed I have this with the Border Collie, and Kate, you said you had a dog that used to do this as well.
I used to have a Labrador that would dig to find to get down to the cool earth, so he'd go under a tree where you know it was shady, and then just keep you know taking off the topsoil. So
some of the ways that you can prevent that kind of digging is to make sure that they have somewhere cool and shady to go, and plenty of fresh water. Digging to escape, which can happen, we actually had to completely puppy-proof the backyard so that there was no way they could dig underneath the fence. We did that by chicken wire. Now, you have to... I had a behavioural trainer tell me how to do this, so make sure that you seek out the advice of someone like a vet or a behaviourist who can tell you how to sort of put that chicken wire down so that it's safe for your dog as well as helpfully prevent them from escaping at all.
Very important, yeah.
Yeah, and if, you know, if they're just bored or if they're digging because there's something underground, just give them that more attention and take them for a walk. Give them a few more toys to play with in the backyard, those sort of things. And hopefully, you know, they'll stop digging. But some dogs just like to dig.
That's right. I guess if you have ongoing problems, I mean, there's some really good points there, Kevin. But, you know, go and talk to your vet or go and talk to a behaviourist if you need sort of more individual troubleshooting with digging problems.
Yeah,
absolutely. So our resident vet, Alan, will be back next week. If you have any questions, send us an email on lostdogshome@joy.org.au or simply text us now, 0427-JOY-949 or email onair@joy.org.au. Stick around right after this. We are going to have our dog dates. You're on Pets Allowed with the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9.
Joy sponsor.
Pets Allowed on Joy 94.9. The Pets Allowed News Wrap. A look at the news of the week from the Lost Dogs Home.
Oh, we already had that.
Yeah, that would have been good if I played the right one. Let me get that one. Wait.
This week's Pet of the Week.
Oh, that feels better.
Kate, who do we have as our pet of the week in the limelight this week?
Okay, we have Little Beetle, who's our pet of the week. He's a 7-month-old terrier cross. He looks like his master's voice dog. He's got a bit of a pirate patch over one eye, black patch, and he's a scruffy white terrier. He's a great family dog, we think. He's quite young at 7 months, so ready to adapt to a new family. He's pretty easygoing. I think someone described him as a bit wash and wear. You know, that coat probably doesn't take much grooming, and he'll just be an easygoing little dog. So if you're interested in adopting Lovely Beetle, this weekend would be the perfect opportunity. His ID number is 926832, or you could visit our website at dogshome.com or call us on 9329 2755.
Now, he is only a 7-month-old puppy, so, you know, consider that. And especially coming up to Christmas, you know, a pet is for life, not just for Christmas.
Yes.
And he's going to be a little bit of a, maybe, you know, it's puppy, so you'll go through a lot of the puppy stages. So think about it first, make sure that you're ready to adopt, and then come on down to the Lost Dogs Home or check out our website. Now, next week, we're going to be talking all about summer, and we are going to be asking what are your top parks and beaches and everything to go to. Kate, what's yours?
My favourite is probably the Collingwood Footbridge. There's a track that you can get onto, a bit of a goat track, and it takes you all around the Yarra through Studley Park, Boathouse, and you end up sort of at the Abbotsford Convent, which I like to go to too. You can have lunch afterwards. But, you know, beautiful, and you can be in the middle of this track and you actually don't feel like you're in Melbourne, and it's a really long walk for the dogs and they love it. Especially if you've got a swimmer there too, because they can jump in the Yarra.
Oh, wonderful.
Are there particular days where that gets quite busy?
Weekends are quite busy. So especially where the boathouse is and the convent, they can be busy with people. But other parts of the track, you might not come across anyone. So that's also
that's
really
nice.
Special.
Nice combination.
Yeah, it's great.
I absolutely love taking my girls down to Altona Beach. So there is a complete dog beach there, and it's just fantastic. Like, there's so much space. There's kilometres and kilometres of beach where your dogs are allowed. It is absolutely beautiful, and there's so many dogs that go down there, and it's just so much fun. Like, they love running through the water. And it was funny, the first time we took Luna there, she was a bit like, oh, I don't know about this, but it was only because she was on lead. As soon as she came off lead, it's a completely off lead beach. As soon as she came off lead, she was bolting around like nobody's business, meeting all the other dogs, chasing them around, going for a bit of a swim, doggy paddle. It was the first time I'd ever seen a doggy paddle, and it was the cutest thing ever.
Did you say that there was an adjoining park as well to the beach? That's a great thing.
Yeah, absolutely. It's so good because the beach is actually set back from the road, so there's probably like a kilometre or two of parkland before you can actually get to the beach, which is great because it means if your dog is running off, you've got plenty of time to catch them as well. And we will be talking more about that next week. If you want to let us know, join us on Facebook, facebook.com/lostdogshome. Otherwise, email us on air. Well, we're on air at the moment, but email us when we're off air at lostdogshome@joy.org.au.
We do want to put together a top 10 of your favourite places to take your dog walking or swimming, wherever it may be for the warm weather.
I guess to that, those fun times that you have together when you get out and about.
Yeah, so thank you very much for joining us for Pets Allowed this week. Don't forget about 12/12 day this Wednesday. Identify, update, reunite. If you do have a pet already microchipped, make sure you check that your microchip details are up to date. And if you haven't got a pet that's microchipping, don't forget about our $12 microchipping on Wednesday at One Boundary Road, which is the new Frank Samways Veterinary Clinic.
We should probably give the NPR telephone number as well. Quickly.
I don't have it off the top of my head.
Or we can give the NPR
website, which is petregister.com.au. And you can also find more information on our Dogs Home website, which is dogshome.com. And we might have the NPR number somewhere.
It's 1300 734 738. So to book, 1300 734 738.
Thank you so much for listening.
Pets Allowed, brought to you by the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.